Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Happy Halloween, guys.
Happy Halloween.
We don't have too many spooks and haunts around here. We did all those in our first Halloween episode.
You've already heard most of those.
Yeah. And I probably won't do a re-release on that this year because I normally do it.
Trigger warning. This episode contains graphic crime.
Every Halloween, and you guys have heard that one. So if you want to hear some spooks and haunts from Cleveland, Tennessee, then you can go all the way back to the beginning. Some of our first episodes. Mm-hmm, I believe it's episode four.
You'll get all of the tall Betsies and the ghost trains and all that stuff.
So we did all of the good spooks and haunts, but something that is very localized to this area and that people not from here may not have heard of.
This is some deep South shit.
Yes. Our Halloween episode is going to be on snake handling churches.
I love a snake handling affair. In the morbid way, not like I subscribe to that belief channel sort of way.
Thank you for putting that out there for us.
In a what the fuck are y'all doing kind of way.
This, I'm trying to think of even how to set this up because, yeah. I mean,
are y'all familiar with snake handling churches?
Right.
And it is exactly what it says.
Yeah. Yeah.
And them, they're rattlesnakes. Okay. They are rattlesnakes.
So first I'm going to tell you about like their theology, what.
How we got here.
Right. Like their theology, what a service is, kind of give you a little rundown of snake handling. And then I'm going to tell you about two different men who at the same time that did not know each other, both founded snake handling religions in Tennessee and Alabama. Spoiler alert, it was created in Cleveland, Tennessee. Then
one sect was created.
Yes. The other one was in Alabama. But I'm going to tell you a lot of George Went Hensley's life story because fascinating.
Because wow.
Fascinating. And this still happens. At the end of this episode, I have a couple more.
There are snake handling tent revival backwoods churches that still do this shit.
Yes, they do. The theology is a literal interpretation of scripture.
Because we always know that goes so well.
I had to write these down because I'm not very familiar. So I'm sorry. Which, by the way, big trigger warning. Let's do that right now.
Oh, God.
I didn't think about that. If you're from this area, you probably have religious trauma. So big trigger warning because we are talking about the Church of God and religious trauma.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
So, Mark.
Which, by the way, the actual Church of God headquarters is in Cleveland, Tennessee. So, this should not surprise y'all.
Right. To anyone not from here. The Cleveland, like, literally.
I could see the cogs turning just then, guys. She was like, not
able to process what she wanted to say.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, we're from here and a lot of our listeners are from Cleveland, but then a lot of our listeners aren't from Cleveland. So now I feel like we have to explain that. Last episode, I was literally like, thank you for listening to our culture. This is a very small group of people. This is not a widespread thing. Cleveland is the Church of God of headquarters, but we're not all these people.
No, no.
So, like I said, the theology of this is like literal interpretation. And Mark 16, 17, and 18, I think is how you said that.
Yep.
But it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. So they read that and they said, you know what? These are direct instructions. And when the Spirit says so, I am going to pick up these deadly snakes. And they truly believe like, this isn't like a choice. It's like an obedience. Like you have to do.
Like they're compelled to pick up the snakes.
Right. So their service kind of starts building slowly. You know, they don't just like sit down and then be like, here's a snake.
Which if you've ever been to a Pentecostal service, you will know how that builds.
Right. They're fiery preaching. They're up there. They're yelling. They're sweating. They're, you know, stomping up and down in their shiny shoes.
What do you think of a tent revival? And this is that.
Yeah. If you're not from this area, please pause this. Go over to YouTube. Look up Church of God Tent Revival. And watch that video. So then you really can completely understand.
People are praising, hauling, shouting, falling out in aisles.
I sort of say that's what comes next.
Yeah.
Is the hymn singing, the clapping, and speaking in tongues.
Yep, yep, yep.
Speaking in tongues is they believe that the Spirit takes over their body and they just let it flow. Just whatever is...
Think like
blowing through their body comes out of their mouth. Just,
just babble.
Once again, please go YouTube this because it is really fascinating.
It's a sight to behold.
Yes. So once they get to this heightened spiritualness, they bring out a wooden box full of snakes.
Again, rattlesnakes.
Copperheads.
Venomous.
Rattlesnakes, copperheads, and cottonmouths, all venomous. Snakes.
All very much should be avoided.
They literally will lift them up. They'll wrap them around them. They'll pass them through the crowd. Just everybody is at one with the Lord and these snakes.
Because these people, they're taking this scripture literally that because they are people of God, these snakes are not going to bite.
And if they do get bitten, then they just trust that it's just God's will and they're going to be okay. They don't need the anti-venom. They like refuse medical care. Just everything's going to be fine. Some people actually do survive multiple bites, but then, I mean, there are also people in the story that are just going to drop dead in the pew. So here we go.
Here we are.
So the man in Cleveland, Tennessee that discovered this religion is George Wendt Hensley, and he had a really big family. He moved back and forth between Tennessee and Virginia, and then in the 1890s they lived in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, and there they were at a Baptist revival meeting, and they saw this woman at a revival service at a coal mining camp, like this elderly woman pick up the snake and be doing her thing with it. And he was like, huh, that's very interesting. That snake didn't bite her. So in
he said, well, I'll be.
Yes, kind of little light bulb. In 1901, he leaves the Baptist church and he marries a woman named Amanda. They move to a 400-acre farm in Ottawa. And they literally lived in like a shack. I mean, it's the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. Not much is there anyway. And he's helping in the lumber business. He's making moonshine because, you know, that was just normal around here. He converts over to the Holiness Pentecostal Church of God. And at this time, he forsook alcohol, tobacco, and friendships he deemed worldly.
Hmm.
Spoiler alert, he ends up getting married 4 times and abandoning most of his children, but we'll get there.
Seems very godly to me.
Yes. So, according to his lore, we don't know if this is true, but the story goes, he was walking near White Oak Mountain in Owl Hollow, and he saw this rattlesnake and literally felt God tell him that he needs to take these gospel passages seriously, and that by handling serpents, they can, by the snake handling, drinking poison, and handling fire, it's their supernatural sign that God is putting his divine power and protection in him.
Interesting, interesting, interesting.
But he's the only one there to, like, witness this. So we don't know if this is actually true or if this is, like, his own grandeur. So in 1914...
he's having his own little Moses moment here.
Right. But this is the thing about this man. He is illiterate.
He can't read.
He cannot read. Someone else has read the Bible to him. And these are the scriptures that he remembers. And this is what he bases an entire denomination of a religion off of.
Okay.
So in 1914, he went to... he's living in Ottawa. He comes to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, the Church of God is hopping here.
Mm-hmm.
And A.J. Tomlinson is still a leader for the Church of God.
Okay.
So he's at this revival and he pulls out snakes. And the Church of God bishops are like, okay, okay.
They're like, go off, sis.
Yeah. They're letting him do it. And it was kind of like a spiritual challenge to the other denominations.
Look what we can do.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we got these snakes. They're not biting us. We're surviving.
Y'all got those snakes?
Right. So the next year, he applies to be a Church of God minister. Still cannot read. His wife has to complete the paperwork for him. And he had memorized some of those, but then he also just started preaching his divine revelation.
Yeah.
He's just what's coming
to him. He's a conduit at this point.
Right. What's coming to him, that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts traveling around Tennessee preaching with the Church of God. And he's preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Pentecostal. And he's just fired up, ready to go. And he's actually often mentioned in their newsletters. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a big deal.
He is a superstar at this point.
But in 1922, he resigns.
What for?
Trouble in the home.
Oh, this is where the other wives come in. Isn't it?
Well, yes, because him and Amanda separate because... it's because of his temper and his drunkenness.
Now, I thought that he had forsaken the alcohol.
Right. But now he's a minister, so I don't know if he's above that. So literally the next year...
he better watch out handling them snakes if he's backsliding.
Right. Well, and it doesn't. He has a hard fall for a little bit.
Woof.
So 1922, he resigns from the Church of God. Him and Amanda separate.
Mm-hmm.
1923, A.J. Tomlinson is pushed out of the Church of God.
Gotta go.
And he forms the Church of God of Prophecy. And he continues being like, okay, the snakes are cool. But
so now we're separate from the Church of God. We're Church of God of Prophecy now.
Yes. And they are the more...
same but different.
Yes. They are more radical, I guess would be the word.
Mm-hmm.
They are more... like, when you think, like, the Pentecostals, that's more of the prophecy side.
They're going to be the ones with the dresses and the long hair and shouting and hooping and hollering and stuff.
So the prophecy is still cool with the snakes. And so the Church of God says they're not cool with the snakes anymore to, like, basically distance themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, also in 1923, he was actually arrested on moonshine charges.
Well,
and he got 4 months in jail and a $100 fine because this is during the Prohibition era.
You have that on in big jobs.
So instead of jail time, he was permitted to the Silverdale workhouse. And he was put on a chain gang constructing roads, but the guards like really liked him. So they ended up giving him other assignments. And they sent him to a nearby well for water, and he just fled.
He's a nice left. Of it.
So he left and went to his sister's house in Ohio, just on the run. So he goes to Ohio, and he still has his ministry up there. And he didn't have a wife because he had lost Amanda, or divorced Amanda. So his sister Bertha would read the passages during the Bible service, and he would do his sermon just from divine revelation. He stayed in Ohio for several years, and his divorce to Amanda wasn't actually finalized until 1926, but he left their 8 children with her.
He just said, bye.
So while still in Ohio, he started ministering at the Salvation Army Church, and that's where he met his next wife, Irene.
Oh, Irene, you dumb.
Well, he had 5 kids with Irene, and he was unemployed. He treated Irene really bad. He never worked. And when he did, it would just be like bricklaying, stuff like that. So her family had to support
him. So he's
him.
Doing odd jobs.
Right. He's not making really any money off the ministry. Just
and playing with snakes.
Right. And her family was actually having to support them because he just was never having money come in. So she leaves him at one point, but ends up coming back like a year later. So in 1935, they're living in Virginia, and he's drawing crowds. I mean, like 500 people were at one event, and one of the events actually was thrown into absolute chaos because the boy accidentally killed one of the snakes during the service. And that was like, oh, people didn't know what to do with themselves. So in,
how do you accidentally kill a snake?
I mean, he was maybe was just in the spirit, and I don't know, but he accidentally killed one of the snakes.
Oh, my.
I feel like he probably had to live with that the rest of his life, too.
Oh, he probably got kicked out of church.
Yeah, I think that's, you can't do that. He, old George, decides he wants to take his shit.
Not the holy snakes.
Not the holy snake.
The serpent. Is, no, not my serpent.
So he just, George, decides that he wants to take his show on the road.
As one does.
So in 1936, he actually built a house on the back of a trailer truck and drove it to Florida.
Hell yeah, he did.
So now he's in Tampa. He's in Bartow, Florida. Like, he's doing good. Like, 700 people were attending these events in Florida. It was a thing. Like, he was it.
Well, hell, it's something to do.
Right. Well, during this time, he travels to Barrow County, Georgia. And at that service, a young man was bit. Didn't get any medical attention, and he dies. And
ruh-roh.
Hensley actually, this is the first snake bite he's ever, like, a death that he's ever had at one of his churches.
He said, huh?
So he actually does the funeral, like, preaches the funeral for the man, and then he hightails it out of there because he's scared that he's about to get arrested. So at this time, he actually asked Irene to put their children in an orphanage so they could travel for full time. And she said no, and she left him. She was like,
so that's now 13 children he's tried to abandon.
Yes. So they get divorced. She and her children go live with his older children from Amanda, right?
Mm-hmm.
She actually ends up dying from complications following a surgery. George came to her funeral, then left, never saw the kids again.
What a great man.
Yeah. So in 1943, in Ottawa, he meets a man named Raymond Hayes, and they start a church together. It was called Dolly Pond Church of God with Signs Following.
Holy shit, I know where Dolly Pond is.
Grasshopper Valley became the central hub for the snake handling.
Mm-hmm.
And for y'all that don't know, it is a area located right northwest of Cleveland. And I mean, like, literally still basically Cleveland.
If you ask anybody local where Dolly Pond is, they'll be like, oh, right over there.
Well, there is now the Grasshopper Creek campground found in the area. Mm-hmm. So, Birchwood. So, later...
unincorporated territory. Right.
Later that year, a man at one of their services died from a snake bite. And the same year that they got the church going, a man died from a snake bite, but they just kept going like everything was good. And basically, they were like, he didn't believe enough.
Yeah, this is on him. He wasn't good enough, and he handled the snake, and this is what you get.
Right. Well, he ends up getting...
Which is incredible. Credible to me that that's the logic. That's wild.
And they all believe that. Like, he just, yeah, oh, well, I hate it for him. Well, that year he actually gets arrested in Chattanooga, not for the man dying at his service, but for a whole different related snake handling charge. And he got a $50 fine.
Whole different snake handling charge.
Whole different one.
Okay.
He gets a $50 fine, but he refused to pay. He was like, no.
And he said, I'm not paying for these kids. What you made you think I won't pay this money?
Well, and they were like, well, you can go to the workhouse. And
he said, okay, I'll run away from there too.
No, he literally. He's
I'm literally screwed on the lamb. What do you mean?
You should still be looking for right. me right now.
Exactly.
Good thing computers aren't a thing. But his church members actually appealed to the authorities and they just let him go.
They're like, no, he's a minister.
At this point, he meets Inez.
Leave them ladies alone.
She's a widow with 10 children.
Oh, my God.
And they met in Saudi Daisy.
So now we're up to 23.
Yes. He proposed marriage. She accepted. But they, after like less than a year, she got out of there. She said, this is too much. So in 1947, Tennessee passed a law that made it illegal to handle or use poisonous snakes in a manner that endangered any person's life or health.
Just, I need y'all to just think about how much of a problem this has to be for in 1947 they did this.
Well, actually, I have the answer to that. There had been 5 deaths from snake bites in the state within a 2-year period.
Hello.
But it was only a misdemeanor offense, and it was just fines and jail time. Like, it wasn't horrible.
Yeah. They were going to keep doing it.
Right. So, around 1951 in Chattanooga, he met and later married Sally Moore Norman. She was nicknamed Peg because of a leg amputation from a childhood accident. It was
married a woman with a birth fifth leg
named Peg.
My God. Peg with peg leg.
It was,
I hate it here.
It was the 4th marriage for both of them. So in 1955, him and Peg are down back in Florida, and he was having, for 3 weeks, he just had regular services without the snakes to kind of test it out. Mm-hmm. So then, 3 weeks in, he pulls out a 5-foot-long snake.
Yo, casual.
And he's just, you know, dancing around with it. And they all gathered in an abandoned locksmith shop for the service. Because, I mean, you couldn't just have it. By this point, it was illegal. So he gave this huge sermon. He removed the snake. He had it wrapped around.
Look at this.
He had it wrapped around his neck. He was like rubbing
Britney Spears.
Yes. He was like rubbing his face on it. He was walking around the audience and he was like, you know,
look at my serpent. Yeah.
Well, as he went to place it into a can, it bit him on the wrist. And after a few minutes, he was like visibly ill. He was throwing up blood. His arm was discolored.
Yeah.
That's he was in severe pain. But he refused medical attention. He was like, nope. Like,
the Lord will see me through.
Even the sheriff's office was like, hey, like, you're about to die. You seriously need medical attention. He wouldn't. He died the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the county judge ruled his death a suicide.
Well, I mean, that's pretty much what it was.
So Sally, a.k.a. Peg, actually still went on to preach his word after. She said she never had lost an ounce of faith. and she went on to marriage to marry him two more times.
Good on you, Peg.
Yeah. Yeah. Do your thing. So that was like 30 minutes of discovering snake handling, right? And you're like, wow, that is crazy. That has to be over. Wrong.
Wrong.
In Alabama, completely unrelated, there was a man named James Miller, who was a Baptist preacher from Sand Mountain, Alabama. And around 1912, the same time as George Hensley, he starts, you know, picking up the snakes and getting the snake feeling in him. And
he got the snakes in his heart.
These men had never met each other. He had never been to one of his services, like two completely unrelated incidents. He, you know, George had kind of seen the woman with the snakes and he was part of the Church of God. So he kind of, you know, came from a church background.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Miller kind of came to this on his own. He just kind of started reading the Bible on his own and was like, you know,
He could read.
And he was just kind of, I don't think we're taking this direct enough. I think that this is what he means.
He said, this right here says, I can go out here and pick up a snake and I'll be all right.
Right. And the Baptists actually didn't want shit to do with him after that. So they booted him out. They're like, exiled. You're done.
They said, we don't want none of that.
But he didn't care. He started traveling around and kind of deemed himself a preacher.
Okay.
And he went, there is so much less information about him than there is George Hensley, by the way. So not going to get as much of a backstory of James, just what happened. This is the very interesting thing about the two churches, though. They actually have two different theological beliefs. George's, which is the Signs Following Church, they're Trinitarian believers. So they believe that their traditional Christian doctrine of the Trinity, which is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. And James Miller's is more of a oneness or Jesus only. They believe that they don't believe in the Trinity, and that instead of God being fully revealed in Jesus Christ, but they both believed in the serpent handling, the drinking poison, and the other signs following from pretty much the same scripture. So Georgia didn't develop a law until a 6-year-old girl was bitten in a service. And the police actually arrested both her father and her pastor. Her pastor later stood trial, but was not convicted in an earlier death of a worshiper. So in 1941, Georgia actually made it that it was a felony punishable by 20 years in prison. But they actually repealed that in the 60s. And now you can do it with a permit.
Not a permit.
Yes. And there was a couple different cases. There was Swan versus Pack in the 70s. And that's when the Tennessee Supreme Court got involved. And they said, listen, they can believe in whatever they want to believe, but we can regulate conduct that endangers lives. So you can believe whatever you want, but the snakes, that's dangerous. You can't do that.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop it. A lot of these services really just went underground instead and started having their meetings in like homes with the windows covered and like barns and stuff like that. But even then, the police kind of knew who all these people were and just kind of turned a blind eye unless someone got hurt. But there's been so many different newspaper reports on fatal bites through the decades. Really cool one. If you watch the HBO documentary, Alabama Snake, we were talking about that yesterday. In 1990, so this is the 90s, Glenn Summerford was a Pentecostal snake handling preacher in Scottsboro, Alabama. And they say that he forced his wife to put her hand into a box of his snakes with a gun to her head. And he says that it was just a drunken fight and it happened on accident. But the jury sided with her and he was convicted of attempted murder and sentenced to 99 years in prison. In One of the most well-known, like, recent cases is Pastor Jamie Coots of Middleboro, Kentucky. And he was actually featured in the National Geographic series Snake Salvation. And he was bitten, like, dozens of times over the years. He literally had lost fingers to infection, kept on with it. And in 2014, a rattlesnake struck him during a service. He went home, refused medical attention, and he died. And the thing about that is this death brought, like, a big wave of media attention. Like, it was national news of people being like, oh, this still happens.
Yeah. Right.
So actually, also 2013, just the year before, Pastor Andrew Hamblin of La Follette came just into the news too. Because in 2013, wildlife officers raided his Tabernacle Church of God. It sees more than 50 snakes.
50?
Yeah. And he was actually known for posting photos and videos of his church services online. So he wasn't really trying
to... He wasn't hiding.
Right. And the grand jury actually declined to indict him.
Really?
Yeah. And his defense was, you know, this isn't putting on a show. This is God's word.
Oh.
So snake handling still happens in the United States.
It sure does.
My client from Salt Lake City had never even heard of this. So I was telling her about it.
Oh, it's a deep south.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, is this like still a thing? I was like, yeah, probably.
Yeah,
like,
girl.
I'd say on the mountain somewhere, there's probably still someone doing it. And I mean, if you do, then nobody's knocking. I mean, I think that's very brave of you. If that's your religious view, then have at it. But ooh, I'm worried about you, sis.
Maybe we should have a talk about religious psychosis.
Yeah. But yeah, that is our own homegrown religion of snake handling that was founded here in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Truly.
This is why we do this. This isn't technically a true crime, but I bet most of y'all listening to this from here in Cleveland, born and raised, knew the Church of God was like a big thing, but like you didn't know this was a thing. Or you've heard your grandparents like joke about it, but never thought that it was an actual thing. And this guy didn't die until the 50s. So that wasn't that long ago.
No, it's really not.
This was in your grandparents' lifetime.
Yeah.
To think.
Ask your mama if she ever been to a snake handling affair.
I'd say a lot of people did. Can you imagine being a kid just like wandering into that? Being like, what in the actual fuck?
Which, yeah, I wonder if some of those children even understood that these snakes can kill you.
There's no way that...
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. You wouldn't...
Yeah.
That's dangerous, but...
Crazy what you can get people to believe.
It is. It's wild as hell.
Church of God, don't sue us.
Please.
We're just reporting what we've seen.
Right. So, yeah, this was actually really, really interesting. And there's not a lot of information out there on it.
Wild as hell.
So watch Alabama Snakes. That was an interesting little true crime to it.
For after chats, what are y'all going to be for Halloween?
Oh, me or the audience?
You're actually going to laugh really hard at this.
We're going to be Sandy and Danny. I knew you'd think that was a gift.
Which outfit are you going to wear?
Cheerleader Sandy.
Huh?
Cheerleader Sandy. And I had to order his jacket off of Spirit of Halloween because they didn't have any in the store, which I very much expected them to. But that's when I was little, that poodle skirt's probably still here. My mom made me a poodle skirt. And like me and Elisa used to literally beg to wear them to school.
Mm-hmm.
That was my identity.
Please.
Yeah.
So I thought it's time.
I'm not going to wear like a blonde wig or anything. I'm just my hair in a ponytail.
I can get down with that.
So are you going to dress up? Are you going to do a spooky photo shoot this season?
Yes. And I'm currently.
Oh, you told me about the.
I'm making a.
I forgot about those.
A pumpkin head right now.
Yeah.
Which I have to get back on that. The first layer of paper mache clay has dried. It's hard as hell. I was not prepared for that. I was like, oh, God. It dries down like damn concrete. Like, it's hard.
I remember doing papier-mâché as a kid, but I don't even remember what it was for.
Yeah, so I ended up looking up a bunch of tutorials on YouTube, and the one that I found that was like the closest to what I wanted mine to look like, I've just been following that.
Nice. I love YouTube for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
That reason, and Brian Itton Investigates. That's the only reason I'm so happy he has that podcast now. That's the only reason I get on YouTube.
So I have made my father a menace with YouTube, first and foremost. If you go and look at my dad's YouTube search history, it's cars and this one channel called Appalachian Storyteller. I introduced him to that channel, and I'm pretty sure he's watched every episode they've ever put out.
I love that. I'm trying to get Buddy to make a gun YouTube for like his like
collection.
Mm-hmm. And he knows so much about like antique guns. That's
yeah.
What,
yeah. He won't do it. Well, why not?
I don't know.
I don't know. He should. I hope he does one day.
I do too. That's a special, special thing.
He was special interest.
A special interest.
Well, happy Halloween, guys.
Yeah. I hope everybody's safe.
Get spooky.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Well, I was sitting here thinking, I started to be like, and check out Tall Betsy and her crypt, but actually don't go up to, that's not her crypt, number one. But don't go up there and like mess with it. Years ago, when I rode with my dad, his like right before mm-hmm. he retired, I went on Halloween and people went up there and like lit candles, which that's really sweet, but don't
that's
do anything
fine,
crazy
but like,
up there.
People try to get in that door and stuff. Mm-hmm. Don't
do that.
Don't be respectful.
That's a legend, but it's also a real person.
Yes.
So, but yeah, happy Halloween. You better get in before 10 o'clock or Tall Betsy will take your bones and, or she'll eat you and take your bones and throw you into Arnoldville.
She get you. She get you. Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.